for standing by. I'd like to remind all participants today's conference is being recorded. You may begin.
Thanks, Tanya. Thanks all for joining. This is Mikey O'Connor, and this is the Vertical Integration call for June 7th, 2010. A little technical note. We are on an alternate phone number, and we thus have the extremely long go on and off of mute messages. So I will try to remember to let people come off a little slowly and don't panic when the long plays. We're working on getting that fixed at the time. So I put out a very sketchy agenda for today's call. The call is only going to be 60 minutes long because at the top of the hour there's a GNSO council meeting. And that will take just about everybody off the call from the staff side and many of our members, too. So today's really a conversation of proposals that are on the table and whether we can coalesce around one or not and so on. So unless there's a change to that kind of an agenda, I think we'll get going, but this is the time to suggest agenda items if you want to talk about something else. I'm not seeing any hands go up, and I see we're getting pretty close to our standard 2 pages on the phone call. So, Gisela, why don't you call the roll, and we'll get started.
With pleasure. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening to everyone. On today's call, we have Roberto Gaetano, Mikey O'Connor, Michele Nalon, Cheryl Langdon Orr, Vicky Mbisani, Keith Drebeck, Alan Greenberg, Kathy Kleiman, Jeff Newman, Paul Diaz, Jeff Eckhouse, Avery Doria, Sebastian Bachelet, Ken Stubbs, Brian Cute, Staten Hammock, Barry Cobb, John Nevitt, Faisal Shah, Tim Ruiz, Graham Shinowitz, Saul Buckingham. From staff, we have Margie Milam, Mike Zubka, Marika Konings, Dan Holloway, David Olive, and myself, Gisela Gruber-White. Milton Muller has just joined as well. We have apologies from Alex Gakuru, Liz Gaster, Scott Austin, Ron Andruff, Olga Cavalli, Jarko Ruska, Jean-Christophe Vigne, Richard Tyndall. If I could also please remind everyone to state their names when speaking for transcript purposes. I hope I haven't left anyone off the list. Over to you, Mikey.
Thanks, Gisela. Thanks, all. I think we've got three big choices to make today. And I'm going to engage in just 1 minute of inside conversation with my co-chair, Roberto, because we were having a conversation about whether to put polls up in Adobe, and we didn't quite have time to get finished. Roberto, are you okay with that idea of just having three continuously running polls through the course of the call today, and then we'll go back around to the list with the doodle ones to document the result?
Mike, I did a mistake. When you said that you are going to ask me, I got on unmute, and so for a few seconds I couldn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, you know, we were talking about whether to have polls running in the Adobe chat room during the call today. And I was curious if you were okay with that idea, and then using the doodle polls to document the results.
I'm fine. I think that one of the issues that we shouldn't concentrate on the vote, and by experience, whenever you put a poll, then everybody is concentrating on the poll and less on the discussion. So I'm not really sure whether there are some people who have to say something substantial, presentation of different ideas and discussion, that to have the poll up since the beginning might be a distraction. It's a concern of mine only.
Okay. I appreciate the patience of the group on that one. And so here's how we'll proceed. Let's have a conversation that sort of wraps up the conversation that's been taking place on the list for a while. And then we've got three polls that we'll use to take the sense of the group. The polls are, there's one poll that basically asks the question, if the timetable for vertical integration or the new GTLD rollout does not change, which proposals can you support or live with? And then there's an identical poll that says, if the new GTL rollout is delayed, which proposals would you be interested in exploring in more depth if we had more time? And then the third poll is, should we as a working group request a delay in the new GTLD rollout? So those are the three questions that are coming, but we won't throw them up on the screen until we've had a chance to talk for a while. We'll throw that up either on the screen or out to the list towards the end of the call. And with that, I'm going to throw the floor open to people who want to discuss proposals, make final appeals, et cetera. And there are a couple of folks in the queue, and I'll start off with Tim. Tim, go ahead.
Hey, Mikey. First, I just want to, you know, I highly doubt I'll participate in that poll. I guess I just really don't see the value. But my question originally, I guess the reason I raised my hand was just, where's the report at, or, and whatever this is going to be, if it's going to be a initial report or a framework of one or just some report to council, or just wondering what the expectation is of the group as far as when we'll see a draft of whatever report's going to be done. I'm leaving on Sunday, you know, because I've got some things to get done along the way. And then I'll show up in Brussels on Friday. So for me, you know, I personally have 2 days left to look at whatever report gets done. And I may not be able to get to it again until then Friday the 18th.
Yeah.
And there's nothing out here yet.
Just to update folks on that, Margie's got a draft that's underway, and she's hoping to get that out by close of business today. First draft, super first draft. It's got probably a hole in the middle that talks about essentially the results of this call, which proposals you know, are advancing. But it has a lot of the other sections that would go in a normal initial report. So there will be at least a draft to review very soon. And, you know, we'll just keep reviewing it right up until the end, probably. But at least look for something either late today or early tomorrow morning, Tim.
All right, thanks.
Margie, can I come in?
Sure, go ahead, Margie. Sorry, I didn't.
Correct. Unfortunately, I don't know what the consensus, you know, recommendations are. So what I have is a report. It's essentially a skeleton with all appendices, and with all the appendices, it's 50 pages, not including any proposals. It's all you know, there for you to look at. I've only written about, it's about 5 pages really with background and process to explain how we got to where we got, and then there's placeholders for whatever we come up with as a consensus. So I will get that out today.
Terrific. Thanks, Margie. John Nevitt, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. I guess I'm with Tim in that I don't support that poll at all. I don't think we as a working group of the GNSL Council should be discussing the ultimate delay in new TLDs, which is a CAM proper issue, let alone a GNSO issue. So I prefer that we not have that poll and that we just move forward with talking about the proposals and figuring out what to put in the report back to council. Thank you.
Okay. Fair enough. With that, let's do that very thing. Do people have things that they feel they want to clarify, or have we as a result of the conversation on the list, have we got issues that we might tangle with and see if we can iron out?
Hey, Mikey, this is Tim. If I can't put my hand up right now. I just left my computer, so if I can get in the queue.
You're first in the queue. Nobody else has got their hand up. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, you know, I think given where we're at and that people are preparing to leave for Brussels here, I mean, to me, there's no time left for much substantive changes in views or arguing or swaying if we want to get a report out. Others may feel differently, but I would think that we have a set of current proposals have all been updated. You know, support for each has been added. The matrix is updated. But that's basically the content of this report, that it's these proposals, the matrix, you know, a summary of where those are at. And, you know, I'm not sure what much more can be accomplished with another day or two, just given the conversations that I've seen taking place on the list, et cetera. And that's not that to discourage ongoing discussion, because I think it's going to go ongoing probably till Cartagena. You know, we need to get something done for some sort of a report for Brussels. And I think this is D-Day, my opinion.
Yeah, I think that's right. This is our very last chance. Let me just clarify on the polling question, John, and Tim. Would it be reasonable to assume that we could poll on support for the proposals, leaving out the timeline question, just so we can let people document which proposals they either support or can live with?
This is John. If I could respond, sure. I'm perfectly fine with that. I think that would add to the report. If we're sending a report with various proposals, it makes sense to say, you know, this proposal has, you know, a certain level of consensus. So yeah, I think that's very appropriate.
Okay. So what I should take away from that is, forget about the timing side of it, but poll for support around the report. So we'll cut the polls from 3-1.
Yeah, Mikey, this is Tim. I'm sure John didn't mean anything by it, but I just have a problem with the use of saying this proposal has this level of consensus. I don't think we're in any position to start drawing conclusions about consensus, but I think we can draw conclusions about here, you know, the support for this proposal, support for that proposal, et cetera. So,
sure, level of support as opposed to level of consensus.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for the clarification on that. Michele, go ahead.
Thanks, Mike. It's Michele. I mean, there's been a lot of discussion between various people about which proposal we could live with and trying to come to some level of consensus. So I think in some respects discussing what people can support or can't support is something which is worth discussing. For example, we were the support and signed up to a particular proposal. However, we realized that, you know, we need to make some kind of concessions. So we're now willing to support an alternative proposal. Several of the other members of this group, I think, feel similarly.
I think that the opportunity that this call presents, I mean, this really is the very last possible final reasonable call time. We will have another call next Monday, but that one I think is going to be very focused on the mechanics of the report. I think this is really the last opportunity for people to declare points, the that they could move on, or alternate proposals that they could support. And so we could use an informal poll in the Adobe room to give people a chance to sort of indicate which proposals they could either support or live with as a mechanism to facilitate that conversation, if that's something that people would find useful. You know, we are sort of at the end of a pretty long conversation, and it's beneficial, I think, if we can find points of agreement or proposals that opinion clusters around. And I'd be happy to throw a poll up to do that if folks want, just an informal one.
Hey, Mikey, this is Tim.
Yeah, go ahead.
Did I get in the queue?
Yeah, you're in. You're at top of the queue. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'll just make a comment, statement, or whatever. Again, probably, you know, been heard before, but about, because there's been a discussion about the 15% and that, and versus the 2% in the board's resolution, or what's currently in the DAG, rather, excuse me, what's actually in the DAG, or the zero that the board, I guess, had. But, you know, from my perspective, our reasoning for supporting the 15% is that it is what is in every single registry agreement that's currently in place right now. And that includes .post, .pro. It's 15%. And, you know, what we've seen, I guess we haven't seen where there is any significant issues that that 15% has caused over the last 10 years or so that, or whatever it is, 7, 8, 9, 10 years, that GTLDs beyond ComNet and Org have been in place. And even in, earlier on, we realized that there were some differences in that, but it's sort of all settled in around this 15%. So our reasoning is that, you know, trying to stay as close to the status quo, which is what our goal is, as possible, that's why we are supporting the 15%. Some of the other aspects of the proposal that we support are there because of concerns that others have raised about, well, there's this hole here where resellers could be used for this, or, you know, it could be gamed that way. So basically tried to plug those holes. But our goal was to actually come down on the side of as close to the status quo as possible, and that's the reason for the 15%. So I'll just make that comment. It's not that we think there's some kind of magic number or, you know, there's some other reasoning behind it. It's just, you know, our desire to be conservative and stick with the status quo.
Thanks, Tim. Jeff Newman, go ahead.
So I hear what Tim's saying about the 15%, and I think the 15% appears in both I'm not even going to try to say the initials. I don't even know what they're called, the RAC plus number proposal, and it's not JN squared anymore. There's 10 supporters, so I don't know what to call that one. You know, so it's not the 15%, and I'm not sure, Tim, that I'm not sure whether it's the proposal you supported that represents the status quo or the one that we have, because in the past, nothing has prevented a registrar from applying to the ELB. There's never been a requirement, any procurement ICANN has done that said that if you are a registrar, you can't be a registry or a back-end registry provider. So I think I'm with you on the fact that we should stay as close to status quo, but I think we have a differing opinion as to what really the status quo is. I understand the contracts, once you sign it, say you can't be, you know, you can't do certain things. But remember, register.com was the one who landed .pro initially. You know, registrars, certainly there's been nothing in any past round that has prevented a registrar from applying to be a TLD. And I don't think there should be anything in the future round with that as well. So I think you're right, though. I think we agree that we should stick this close to status quo. I think we disagree as to what that is.
Thanks, Jeff. Milton, go ahead.
Yeah, hello. I just am curious. It seems to me that on the list, the idea of 15% has pretty much been demolished as arbitrary, and even the advocates of it recognize that there's no particular justification for drawing the line there. So, you know, I'm wondering about this. The rationalization for it now is that it's close as possible to the status quo. But I thought that this working group was about moving away from the status quo. I thought that we wanted to do something that allowed more competition and made it easier for new entrants to come in. And I'm curious as to why. I really haven't seen much direct engagement with the CAM proposal. I know that it is not getting support from the people who like the status quo, but I'm just wondering, what exactly don't you like about the fact that a competition authority or experts within ICANN would hold back proposals that threaten some kind of consumer harm or threaten competition and allow others to pass, given that we know any kind of an ownership limit number is arbitrary? We just know this. There's not really any more debate about that. What is it that you don't like about having a review on the basis of market power or competition authority? I really haven't heard much about that.
Thanks, Milton. Jeff Eckhouse, go ahead.
Sure, thanks. I just want to first let me just say, Milton, that I have not said I'm not against. I like the CAM proposal as well, but that's not my main point. Just two things I wanted to bring up. One is something on the chat. I was at Register.com after this happened, but yes, Register.com did start a new entity called Registry Pro that applied for .pro, got it, and that was 100% owned by Register.com. The only difference was that Registry Pro was on the 16th floor, and the Register.com offices were on the 7th and 8th floor. So I saw that was on the chat. I wanted to clarify that. My third point is just responding to what Tim was saying, which is, hey, you know, this is what we've seen. It's been, you know, the 15% has been in effect. I think what it has brought is no competition. I think that all the interesting new TLDs and innovative ideas we've seen recently have been in the CCTLD space. I think a lot of the new TLDs that are out there, I mean, that what has happened, I think that we haven't seen a lot of growth, a lot of openness. I mean, I have seen innovation in .tel. I think it was a great idea. Unfortunately, I know they have a really hard time getting some distribution. But the point being, I think that the 15% hasn't really expanded it, hasn't opened up competition. I think that's what we're trying to do. And also, people have sent a lot of emails there in the past week about harms that have happened, things about land rush abuse and sunrise abuse. I just want to say that those were all under the current 15% limit and really have nothing to do with the co-ownership that I guess it would be the JN2 proposal has discussed. So I just wanted to separate that part out as well.
Thanks, Jeff. John Nevitt, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. I just want to talk a little bit about what Roberto said on the chat about trying to reach consensus on Saturday. You know, even if we had our discussion after Constituency Day, I think it's a pipe dream that we reach consensus on one proposal at any point, just understanding the tenor of the conversations and where the perspectives of where folks are coming from. So I think the best that we can do, from my practical personal perspective, is that we narrow down to two or three or four at most proposals that we send to the council, and then show a level of support for each one based on members of the working group. I don't think we will reach one proposal at any point, and we could talk about this, as Tim said, through Cartagena, and that won't change at all. That's why any thought of discussion of delay, you know, trying to give us more time to reach consensus, I think, is not worth it, and that's why I oppose that concept. And I think Barry made a good point that it's actually in our charter that we we do not delay the rollout of new TLDs, so let's keep that in mind. Thank you.
Thanks, John. Brian, I'm going to jump around you in the queue and let Roberto speak and then come back to you if that's okay. Roberto, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to clarify that, first of all, when I was saying that that I was expecting to have some consensus on Saturday, it was not a proposal to delay any sort of decision until Saturday or to buy additional time. It was just the fact that I believe in the fact that once we are all face-to-face and, you know, things might work a little bit better than in teleconference or mailing list. Also, when I'm talking about consensus on Saturday, I was not thinking of having magically one proposal winning over the others. But I still think that there might be elements taken from one or the other proposal that on which we can have individually consensus. So I think that what I'm hoping to reach on Saturday is not a consensus on a full proposal, but at least a consensus on some elements. Like, for instance, I don't know, I'm just throwing, I'm not proposing anything, it's just as a matter of example. Vertical integration, okay, for single registrant with these kind of safeguards against abuse, for instance. That might be possible, and that might be good input for the council on Sunday. But yeah, basically that's it. What I wanted to say.
Thanks, Roberto. Brian, go ahead.
Thanks, Mikey. Yeah, Milton, I wanted to respond to your question about the CAM proposal and the competition authorities. And it's one that has some attraction. But just the practical problems with it that I've always seen is if we create a structure where ICANN is internally making decisions or engaging in antitrust analysis, I feel strongly that that puts ICANN as an entity at risk from a number of different fronts, including potentially competition authorities, and risk that isn't necessary for ICANN to take on and is frankly outside the scope of its expertise. Recognizing it's got a competition mandate. And the antitrust authorities, in a scenario where I agree with Jeff Newman's point on the last call or call before, you know them as well as I do. They keep their own counsel. They wouldn't necessarily want to be bothered with a mechanism that referred every single application. They really are, among all of the government agencies, the strongest and the firmest and the most fiercely in terms of guarding their prerogative and their turf, and they frankly do what they want to do. So I've just always seen some practical challenges with trying to create a structure that addresses some of these problems in that way. With regard to the 15% number, I do want to echo what Tim said. I don't think, Milton, that 15 is an arbitrary number the way you cast it. 15, whether we think it's a good number or not, grew out of ICANN's original effort to institute competition into the market. It was in the original VeriSign Network Solutions contract. It has been embedded in a number of contracts. It is not an arbitrary number at all, and it's unfair to characterize it as such. 0%, 2% have appeared in a board resolution and in the DAG, but there is real meaning to 15%. Now, you could characterize any number as arbitrary, but when you're talking about corporate ownership and control, 51% ownership is a meaningful number. Anything lower than 51% with control through other means is meaningful, and that's why many of the proposals focus on an ownership percentage plus control. So those are the comments I wanted to make on the numbers. I think just to close it off, you know, our primary concern throughout, and there's been some discussion on the list today, is the access to registry data and the ability to engage in enhanced forms of abuse. And perhaps we haven't always been clear about what can happen because, you know, I take the point that there have been abuses in the market that have occurred outside the context of cross-ownership. I don't debate that. I put them forward on the list as examples. But the fact of the matter is registrar front-running and other abuses occurred with only the scope of registrar visibility of data. When registrars get access to registry data, the scope of what they see and the ability to more efficiently engage in enhanced forms of abuse is what our primary concern has been. And the final point I'll make is that I think right now the elephant in the room for all of us is the question of enforcement. And I'm not sure that it's being addressed or has been addressed. I'm not sure how it will be addressed. Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. Aubrey, go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I just wanted to address what I believe are a few perhaps misunderstandings in that I perceive in what Brian just said in relation to the CAMP proposal. I think, first of all, the CAMP proposal does not propose that ICANN itself become a party to making these recommendations. It quite specifically talks about an external group of experts in competition issues, et cetera. So that's very much not the case that ICANN becomes a party. Second of all, while it had been the case in an earlier proposal that all went to competition authorities, I think, yes, it was eventually decided that that might be a bit of a deluge for them, for anyone that wanted to go over the threshold, and that therefore that's why the later proposals contained a notion of an external group of experts. And the only thing sent to the competition authorities were those that that group of experts determined there was some special issue that needed competition authorities to review them. I think, and this work is still going on, there has been an indication, not as Jeff and others have said, that the competition authorities just don't want to see this stuff and will ignore it, but that it would be processed, especially if it came after a review by a competent panel saying, we think there may be an issue here. I think on enforcement, I think, first of all, that's one area where ICANN has been approving over the last year and such. I think it's something where ICANN should be encouraged to approve and that we shouldn't just blanket say that this operational capability of review and enforcement is somehow beyond ICANN, because I think that's something that they're quite able to do. And again, I think the CAM proposal does come up with an initial set of criteria and enforcement requirements for minimizing any harm that might come. And this harm deals with not only, you know, it's sort of separate from the how much percentage is owned. If there is cross-selling, then there are conditions to be followed. And so it sort of ignores that whether you have control and you have 2%, 5%, 25%, 15%, whatever percentage, which while I'll admit it is not completely arbitrary because it does have history behind it, it still is an arbitrary number in terms of saying anything about whether there is control or not. So, yes, it certainly has historical significance. So I think that if you take a closer look at some of the things that the CAMP proposal suggests, you'll see that it really is trying to find the compromise point between the two leading proposals that everybody or that many are starting to climb on now, is proposing ways to look at things, is proposing ways to allow things and to allow more competition in the market in those cases where there is no threat from market power and in a way that regulates the behavior of those who might regulate and enforces the behavior of those that might cause harm. Thanks.
Sorry, can 10 steps. Go ahead.
Mikey, can you hear me? Hello?
Yes, we can, Ken.
Yeah, sorry, I muted myself, Ken. Go ahead.
Sorry, it's muted. I'm going to try to speak in just straight layman terms because I get lost in some of these proposals. They get somewhat convoluted. So what my concern would be very simply, and I'm going to address this to Avery, but I'm addressing the proposal, is that what you're doing is taking the entire process and sticking it out, arming it out to a bunch of government agencies, each who will act in its own time frame. Pardon me? Mikey?
I don't know what's going on, Ken.
Oh, that's right. Each agency who will act in its own time frame and within its own frame of reference. And I'm afraid, you know, I look back at the ineffectiveness of a lot of agencies that we've dealt with over the years, including the Securities Exchange Commission and so forth, and I begin to wonder whether or not this process could end up being so convoluted and so delayed that it will be the equivalent of holding some currency that has no value because you can't use it for anything. So to me, it just bodes of interminable delays. And it gets an awful lot of people off the hook in the decision-making process, but it's being, in my opinion, farmed out to agencies that, number one, aren't used to dealing in this kind of an environment. And number two, every single agency that gets involved in this is going to have to go through a significant learning curve. It isn't just pure competition law. All these harms we talk about come into light. You can look at almost any one of these things, unless it's managed by somebody who's just inordinately large, as being non-competitive initially, but that does not preclude abuse. And I think that's one of the principal mandates that we have, is that concern for abuse. Thanks, Mike, for hearing me out.
You bet, Ken. Avery or Milton, do you want to respond? I guess, Milton, your hand's up. Why don't you go ahead?
Okay. Yeah, I would. I think Avery is finished from the last time. I'll respond.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, Ken, I understand the concern you have, but I think that you're thinking about major antitrust cases involving things like, Google's merger with acquisition of AdMob, or Google's merger with DoubleClick or something, in which you have a global player who is dominant, obviously dominant in a particular market, and antitrust authorities looking at that. My view is that the vast majority of these cases, of these applications, would not even be forwarded to an antitrust authority by the review panel within ICANN, and that would be a very quick process. And those that are would only involve, people with market power, and there are really only two players that I think that actually applies to in the current marketplace, although there might be some CCTLDs that might have something to worry about from that. And we would want them to have something to worry about. I guess I think the key issue here is when you talk about abuse, you're talking about abuse as being something that is inherent in a particular market structure. And when I talk about abuse, I mean it's something that can only happen in an uncompetitive market structure, or if it does happen in a competitive market structure, it will be quickly penalized and exposed, and will result in basically the business going under or being very unsuccessful, so that it is in some sense self-correcting. I think the thing you have to understand about all of these problems of abuse is that they are essentially case-specific. They have to do with not with a particular level of ownership or not with a particular market structure, but with what happens when particular players with a certain level of market power does certain actions. And one of the ways we're thinking of modifying the CAM proposal is to give end users a right of action to complain about or whistleblow on some of these things so that you don't just have the ICANN itself or the antitrust authorities enforcing it, but as in antitrust law, people who think they're harmed by this could actually bring a complaint that would have to be acted upon. But in general, I think, as Avery tried to explain, we're actually trying to find the consensus position, and we think it has to be found by looking at things in a case-specific way and not by setting arbitrary percentages.
Mike, can I respond real quick to Milton? It's up to you.
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, Milton, you keep talking about this review panel. First of all, I'd be somewhat concerned about a review panel because if it gets capricious, we could get into the beauty contest. It doesn't roll off the tongue time. Who writes the guidelines for the review panel to operate off of? Who reviews the review panel? And I'm not being cynical. You know, there has to be accountability there. I'm very, very concerned about that because you made the comment that a lot of these things may not even reach the competition authorities, which means you're empowering that review panel with significant ability to act and to make major decisions there as to whether or not an item is material. Now, the guidelines that you used in the examples are almost beyond the pale in terms of what we're considering here. But at the same point in time, I think those are issues that make the whole process more convoluted. I'm sorry. I do appreciate your elaboration. Thanks.
Thanks, Ken. Alan, go ahead.
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yep.
I'll be real quick since we're almost out of time.
Yeah.
Competition authorities make judgment calls on whether something is illegal, whether a law has been violated, whether someone is exercising undue power because of the specifics. There are plenty of things which are not in the public interest and not we don't want to happen which are not illegal. Ask anyone in the Gulf of Mexico right now. So I think what we are supposed to be doing is looking at things in the public interest and seeing what potential harms, not necessarily what laws are being violated. And I think we're using the wrong construct in this proposal to try to address it.
Thanks, Alan. Anybody else for the queue? We're about 15 minutes away from the end of the call. And I want to very quickly take the sense of the group. I have a little doodle poll that I could throw the URL of up to the chat room, and we could, but I think it's, no, I think actually as I say that out loud, that's not a good idea because it'll take a while for people to fill it out, and so that's too complicated. So is there a constructive use of the last 15 minutes of our time that would help us get closer, or shall we draw this conversation to a close, take the poll, look forward to Margie's first draft report, et cetera? Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, so earlier on in the call, people were saying and present, you know, that we were going to present to the council. The term present to the council kept getting used, but I think before presenting something to the council, doesn't it have to go out for public comment? This is a PDP. I know we all want to rush this through, but...
Jeff, let me clarify, I think, the sequence of events. What we'll do in Brussels is update the council on progress.
Right.
But then we've got a public comment and constituency statement cycle that will kick off after Brussels. And then we get to modify our draft as a result of that cycle. So now I haven't got the dates right in front of me, but, you know, later in the summer. And come to a final draft. And so, you know, we're following sort of the PDP cycle here, but we won't be presenting a final report to the council in Brussels for sure. We'll be updating them on where we're at. Margie, go ahead.
Yeah,
wanted to follow up on that. Jeff, to address your concern, this is not an initial report under the Annex A, you know, an official initial report. I'm calling it a preliminary report. So, we, you know, in order to continue on the PDP timeline, we would also eventually have to get to an initial report and follow the steps in the Annex.
Oh, wow. Wait, so if I can respond to that, Mike, I mean, that, I appreciate that, Margie, but that just introduces much more time into it, right? If it, Margie, under your plan, then when do you think we would get an initial report? Because it's really the initial report that goes out for public comment, not whatever we're calling this.
That's right. I mean, I assume, remember, this report's just going to have various proposals and levels of support. I mean, once we have a report where we have consensus, that's the thing that I think needs to be, you know, part of the public comment process.
That's a surprise to me. So let me, this is Mikey, let me ask a question. Has there ever been an initial report where, I mean, you know, I've been in working groups that have submitted initial reports where there was not consensus around proposals, and the initial report specifically asked the community for feedback, and that was the thought that I had going into this. So if we're actually not going to call this an initial report, then that probably moves the schedule out so long that we miss the window for getting to the DAG, in which case that's a train wreck. So I need a fast call on that one, because my presumption going into this has been that this was the initial report, not a preliminary report.
Mikey, this is Tim. I'm in the queue. If...
Yeah, Tim, go ahead. I was hoping that you might be in on that point. Go ahead.
Yeah, actually, you know, I can recall a number of initial reports where there was no consensus. Or actually not even any recommendations. Maybe there was consensus not to have recommendations. So I don't think that consensus is necessary in order to issue an initial report. And that consensus could actually change based on, you know, public comment that might be offered and then further discussion and deliberation within the working group. Before the final report actually is produced. I think the biggest question right now is whether, given the time left, you know, that we can actually produce an initial report in time for Brussels, although we may be able to, with ongoing discussion as we're possible, to have an initial report shortly after Brussels. But it's one of those things where I think, you know, it's going to probably be a lot of, you know, discussion amongst the working group about content. And so if we frame this as something other than an initial report for Brussels, we might get there a little bit easier. But if we term this an initial report, it might raise concerns within the working group that might make it difficult to kind of finalize text. That'd be the one reason I can see why we might want to wait calling an initial report.
That's a puzzler. Cheryl, go ahead.
Thank you. Cheryl, I was just concerned that if we're getting more and more opportunity for last-minute modifications of various proposals coming to the table, when we're going to be drawing a line in the sand for how people are giving a level of support to what would be better if it was just a couple of proposals going into an initial report. So picking up on what Jonathan was saying in the chat, I must say a number of us have said this is the one we can live with best. This is not particularly indication of wholehearted card-carrying marching down the street waving flag support. of the current, and we would hope still to be modified proposals. We were talking about convergence at one point. We need to find a point pre-report that says this is what our general levels of support are or are not for the following main proposals. But you've got to draw a line in the sand somewhere, or this is going to be shifting up to beyond the 11th hour, more like a doomsday clock, and I'm looking very much more positively on the DAG 4.
All right. We are out of time. Let's see. I think I'm going to make some preliminary, somewhat arbitrary choices and see if I hear howls of protest.
Margie has had her hand up.
Oh,
you may want to let her go.
Margie, is yours up still, or was that from before?
It was following up on the issue of whether we're talking about an initial report versus a preliminary report.
Go ahead. My apologies.
Sure. I mean, and the bylaws do talk about, you know, what needs to go into an initial report, and we haven't done some of that work yet. So, for example, you know, we gathered constituency statements. We haven't summarized them or or done a lot of the work that needs to go into at least the framework that's required under the bylaws. So I think we probably need to have further discussions. We don't all have time right now to think about the timeline. If we're doing it an initial report or a preliminary report and then an initial report, we want them to be very close together. But you know, we do have to kind of sit back and look to see what the bylaws do require.
So is there a way to my concern is the one that Jeff Newman raised, which is if we're introducing a whole another 3-month cycle, that makes me nervous. Could we do a preliminary report and then very quickly follow it with an initial report and then go out to public comment, et cetera, like within weeks?
Oh, yeah, because there are no rules for this preliminary report. So, you know, this is just to be able to satisfy having a report and some discussion in Brussels. But there's no reason we couldn't turn that into an initial report fairly quickly.
Okay, well, that provides a way out. Let's see, Alan and then Tim.
Yep, I've raised this point before. We are trying to come up with an intermediate short-term solution to a PDP, which was supposed to be a long-term one based on the formal PDP rules. There are no provisions in the bylaws for how we pass judgment and then go back to work again. In my mind, what we're going to be recommending to the board for the formal applicant guidebook is not the PDP outcome. And I think we're charting new territory here, and I'm not sure the bylaw rules apply.
I'm gonna jump in on this one. Well, Tim, go ahead, and then I'll jump in.
I got all kinds of things racing through my head now. After
I know.
But
I've been reading the chat too.
But what I was going to comment on, I'll stick with that for right now. Is that I guess Margie said it. I guess what we want to call it, an interim report or a draft of the initial report. I guess it doesn't really matter, but I think that's a good game plan. What we're really working on is the initial report. I mean, the work we're putting into this will become part of the initial report. Whatever we want to call it initially here from Brussels, since it's not final, it doesn't really matter. But we should have the goal of having something of an initial report as shortly after Brussels as possible. I agree with that. I don't think it matters what we call it here.
Yeah, okay. I think the main thing we need to make sure is that we are in adherence with the rules. And I'm at a little bit of a disadvantage on that front. But as long as we can very quickly move through the process and stay sort of on that schedule that... And Alan, in response to your point, I've been sort of maintaining all along that we're really doing two PDPs back-to-back and following the rules for a PDP for each, and that the longer one is the one that provides the room to explore in much more depth the issues of harms, the issues of responses to... competition authority, panels, all that kind of stuff. That what we've really got is a very urgent first PDP that needs to get something teed up for the DAG as it rolls out,
yeah,
and then a longer one.
Mikey, the point is the board assigned us a task after the GNSO chartered the longer term.
Right, and we accepted
PDP, and if we want this to have the import of a PDP outcome, then we need to do some homework to clarify that and to make sure that that's what we're doing.
Well, because that's been on the table.
The board request
the
is not in our charter.
I know that, Alan, but we have talked to the board, the staff, you guys, et cetera, ad nauseum. I've published that little document about 5 times to the list. I'm not going to replay that right now. Tim, go ahead. Unless your hands.
Yeah, I think Alan raises a good question. I'm not sure if he's implying a solution that I'm quite sure I agree with it, or I think he's just more trying to find one. But I think what we're doing here would be coming up with a policy, and that's a pretty huge, significant one. So whatever we do, it should go through the steps of a policy development process. So we don't want to skip things or take shortcuts because we're in a hurry. And that's been my concern all along. This has huge impact, both short-term and long-term, and, you know, needs to be done appropriately. So whatever the board has requested, we can't take shortcuts.
Right. Okay, it is the top of the hour. Here's the plan. We're going to publish a report with a name, either draft, interim report, or preliminary report, or something, soon. We are going to review it on Monday. We're going to review it, I bet, a lot on the list between now and Monday. I'm going to kick off a doodle poll via the list right after this call, which gives people the opportunity to display their support for various proposals. It can either be I support the proposal, I can live with the proposal, or I oppose the proposal. And we'll use that doodle poll as the first round of proposal support indication in the report. So this is a very important poll for people to participate in. And we'll beat all that stuff up on the list and have a conversation about the draft as it stands on Monday, and then give ourselves 6 days off and meet Saturday morning in Brussels. How's about that? Thanks, all. It's 1 minute after the hour. I know the GNSO Council folks need to drop off, and so I think with that, we'll call it a day.
Bye, Mikey. Bye, all.